Drop down now to chapter 10, verse 3, the last verse. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the welfare of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. We have a Savior that's going to bring peace one day to this world. Now, will you notice something here? There are three prayers that they pray at the time of the Feast of Purim. They thank Jehovah that they're counted worthy. The second prayer, for preserving their ancestors. And third, that they've lived to enjoy another festival. And we today as Christians say we see in it the providence of God. In the Passover feast, to us there is the spiritual meaning. Christ our Passover is offered for us. We have the salvation of God for us. In the Feast of Purim, we have the keeping power of God, His providence, the sovereignty of God. And Proverbs says in Proverbs 16, verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And He'll keep His nation Israel. He'll keep His church. And He'll keep the individuals that are His. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God through Him. Now, again, I must come back to this. The Christian today only knows of a distant providential oversight. They do not learn to walk with God in close fellowship, obeying God's Word. He knows and loves and cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to Him. He wants to lead you, friends, by His eye. You have to be very close to Him. And we need to move in close today. But most of us only know of this distant providence of God, of how He leads way out yonder those that won't be led. How many Christians walking in their own will? Things are going nicely. The sun is shining in the sky. The stones are removed from their pathway. And they just think they can work it out themselves. So they don't look to Him. And I could say we don't look to Him at a time like that. But then one day the winds begin to howl. The waves begin to roll. The way seems dark. And then we all of a sudden cry out to Him, Lord, save me, I'm perishing. Show me the way. And then if we get through that crisis, we say, the Lord led me. My friend, only by His providence did He lead us. We were actually not in the will of God. How many Christians that I'm talking to right now, you're really not in the will of God, are you? We hear so much today about dedication of life and heart. I get so weary of hearing that, come dedicate your life to God. Oh, my friend, I'm not asking you to do that. You can do that right now and get down on your knees and dedicate your heart and life. And then tomorrow you can be entirely out of the will of God. And then you begin to move by the providence of God. Oh, He wants to lead you today. He wants to guide you directly. He'll overrule you. I don't care what you do or where you go, and I don't care who you are. You may be a Hitler. You may be a Stalin. You may be a Judas Iscariot, but He overruled Judas Iscariot. He'll overrule you today, friend. I don't care who you are, but you can know the luxury and the joy of coming to Him, and not just in one act, but moment by moment, and day by day, seeking the will of God for your life. And you won't have to come down front in some service to do this. You can just begin to walk out from right where you are right now in the will of God. How wonderful it is. What joy it is. He wants to lead you.